Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
How are you, 6pm? It's great to have you in the house tonight. Who's ready for the Word of God? Who was here last week for It's Tight But It's Right? Oh, I was tight, but it was right. It was good. Hey, tonight we're going to be talking about relationships, but a different sphere of relationships. We're actually going to be talking about our relationships with one another, the relationships within the four walls of the church. And I reckon that as a topic, we probably don't give enough airtime to this topic of relationally connecting within the four walls of the church. Who knows that in Australian society, we tend to be quite individualistic. And I think sometimes we're all guilty of bringing that, you know, individualism into our faith and into the way we connect here at church. But if you would go and study the New Testament scriptures, you would very quickly learn that it was a pretty big deal the way they related with one another. There was a huge emphasis on this idea of the shared life. The scriptures actually say, well, Jesus said, he said, a new command I give to you, love one another. He said, encourage one another. The scriptures say, bear with one another, care for one another, honor one another, devote yourself to one another, be kind to one another. Many, many, many more of these one another statements that were a really big deal in the New Testament church. This strong emphasis on their relationships one to another and how they were connected because of their common faith. These truths have not changed. These truths are still relevant. They're still relevant 2,000 years on for you and me today. I know what we can be guilty of, overusing the word connect. You know, come to my connect. Or if you don't like my connect, you can go to his connect. And we'll connect with you and we'll connect with you and you and you. And if you don't like this connect, you know, you can always go to the connection point. I'm sure they'll help you get connected. And on we go. You know, we can have a laugh at ourselves because we overuse this word connect. But make no mistake that Christ's intention for his church was a place of connection. A place of deep relationship. Me to you and us to the next person. And that's why I've called this message the power of connection. The power of connection, because even if we overuse the word, we must never let it become cliche and risk losing its truth or risk losing its wisdom. You know, it's flawed theology to think that you can do your relationship with God isolated from other believers. It's not a right theology. There's some might say, you know, well, I just come to church, you know, I just kind of mind my own business. I just kind of, you know, come late, leave early. I'm not really interested in, you know, connecting with anybody here. I don't really want to go to your connect group. Thank you very much. And don't get me wrong, we love everybody. We love absolutely everybody. It actually doesn't matter, you know, what stage you are on in your journey. We always say, you know, participate to the degree that you feel comfortable, and we're sincere in that because we acknowledge that everyone's at a different place with these things. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't say that independence from other believers was actually not what Christ intended for his church. It's not what Jesus had in mind. You know, the scriptures call us, call the collective church, it calls us the body of Christ. And we're about to read a big chunk of scripture that kind of explains this pretty well and base the rest of our conversation today on this scripture. Is that okay? Are you ready to read a big chunk? Have you got your brains are switched on right now? 1 Corinthians 12, let's go there. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of the one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? That's a good question. You know, if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we're going to treat them with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Wow. Such an incredible, rich passage of Scripture. I love it. I think if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, like as in working here at church, I'd want to go back to uni and become a doctor. I just love the realm of medicine. I'm borderline fascinated, obsessed, whatever, with the realm of medicine. My favorite TV shows are things like 24 Hours in Accident and Emergency. Anyone with me? Anyone love this stuff? There's a show on Foxtel called Surgeons at the Edge of Life. Nicole Smith, you know what I'm talking about? Has anyone ever seen 101 Things Removed from the Human Body? Anyone? 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 No one? Seriously? They call it a shockumentary. It's a documentary designed to shock you. A shockumentary, but seriously. True story. It's gruesome, but great. I'm not one to, you know, fangirl over celebrities very much, but if you tell me you're a surgeon, I've got total stars in my eyes. I'm like, I want to get to know you. So when the Bible says you are the body of Christ, I just love it so much. It's combining my two passions, medicine and the church. And I think God is a genius. Maybe that's obvious. But he's such a genius, the way he created us, made our physical form, and then he interweaves into our physical form this rich and deep metaphor about how we're all supposed to coexist together as the church. It's brilliant. See, we just read in verse 27, it says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. None of us are the whole body. It says the whole body is not an eye, or the whole body is not an ear. That wouldn't be a body. That would be a monster. That would be a freaky. None of us are the whole, but every single one of us are parts. Every single one of us is a significant. You are a significant, God-fashioned, God-crafted. You're a valuable part of his body. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a valuable part? Okay. 6 out of 10. Turn to your other neighbor and say it like you mean it. Yeah, I think some of you actually, struggle to say that, struggle to voice that. But the fact that you are a valuable part, it is not a goal to be obtained, it's a truth to be believed. You don't have to strive to be a valuable part. You don't have to work your way up to that. You just have to accept and believe that you already are one. God has made you one. In our text in verse 15, we read about, we read about an insecure talking foot. Anybody that says the Bible's boring hasn't read this passage. It's an insecure talking foot. And it says in verse 15, now if the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. The foot's having a meltdown because he's comparing himself to the hand, right? Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. What am I good for? Have you tried walking? But if the foot were to say that, it says in verse 15, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. See, his thoughts about himself do not diminish the truth that he is indeed a valuable part. He's a valuable part of the body, whether he's prepared to acknowledge it or not. And I want to say, you are a valuable part of the body, whether you're prepared to acknowledge it or not. It's not a goal for you to obtain. It's a truth for you to believe. And even more importantly, it's a reality for you to walk in and to live in and to function in. Like any part of anything, it's going to find its greatest expression when it comes and it takes its rightful place connected to the whole. You know, your part is always going to make more sense when you're connected to the whole. You know, it's like when you shake out all the parts of an IKEA flat pack. Who loves IKEA flat packs? Just a handful of people. We can pray for you later. You know, like you shake out all the parts of an IKEA flat pack and they can look a bit random. They can look a bit weird. Sometimes it's hard to imagine what that part is going to be good for. But then you connect them to the whole and voila, you've got something. You've got something with function. You've got something with purpose, you know. It's very easy to look around such a diverse group of people. And we're diverse. We're diverse in age, we're diverse in backgrounds, we're diverse in life stories, life experiences. We're diverse on a number of different ways. And you could be forgiven for thinking that, well, we're not really connected. But what you've got to understand is it's not a natural connection you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for a natural connection, it's very likely that you will not find one. But what connects us is Christ. The connector of us all is actually Jesus Christ. See, when we come into a vertical relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it then informs the horizontal relationship that we have with one another. You know, remember when Jesus was asked, well, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God and love people. You'll notice that it's in that order. You know, that out of our love and connection with God flows. It's a place of flow, love and connection to those around us. And this imagery of the body that we just read, you know, it's remarkable to me. It's so interesting to me because it draws our attention, yes, to the many different parts, but it also draws our attention to the one. Yeah. To the one. And your physical body right now, as you sit on that chair, this is the genius of God. It's almost prophesying to you about how this whole body of Christ thing is supposed to work within you right now, right as you're sitting. You're not conscious of it probably, but there is so many different parts that make up you right now. And they are all diverse in function. They're diverse at their cellular level. They're diverse in their makeup. But then also within you right now, although there are many, there is one. There is one blood supply that is coming to every single one of those different parts. There's one blood bringing you life. It's bringing you oxygen. It's bringing those life-sustaining things to you. And that very same blood is removing from you everything that is toxic, everything that's going to be like death to you. You know, if there's no blood in you, there's no life. If there's a particular part of you that is cut off from the blood, I tell you, that's not going to be a good situation for that part. Is this sounding familiar? You know, because are we not many lives supplied by the one life? There's this flow of blood to us all. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and it brings us life and life to the full, and it removes from us everything that is going to be toxic and going to be death to us, that sin, that shame, that bondage, that oppression. It's taking away from us. See, the same blood that cleanses me, it cleanses you. The same sacrifice once and for all saved me. He saves you. He is Jesus. You know, book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this. It says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because, here we go, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one. We're one body, for we all share the one loaf. It's not talking about tip top. This is not a message about Helga's bread company. You know, it's talking about the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what unites us. That is what connects us in the family of God. And it's a very profound, a deep, a mysterious spiritual truth, but it is reality of life in Jesus Christ. It is the reason. It's the reason you can go on a mission trip to the other side of the world and connect with a Christian over there. Maybe doesn't even speak your language. There is nothing, nothing whatsoever that you would have in common with this person, and yet you feel an immediate connection of heart. What is it? You've participated in the one. Life in Christ is a beautiful thing. It's a precious thing. It's a gift. You know, when we use the word family around here, sometimes we stand on stage and go, you know, you're part of the family. And that, it's not that we're just getting carried away. It's not that we're just getting a little bit over sentimental. It's a deep, you know, acknowledgement that the life that saved you also saves me. And we've been united through the one, and it's all a part of his design. One God and Father over all, who is in all and through all. Amen. You know, this connection to the body, it means comfort for you. Connection actually means comfort for you. There's no getting away from the fact that God has designed us to be relational beings. We're better together. You know, if this wasn't so, God wouldn't have connected us in a body. He wouldn't have even convened his church. He could have, if you think about it, let us conduct ourselves and our faith just like individual entities, you know, single parts. But it's not the case. That's not how he did it. He placed us in relationships, and relationships work better when there's reciprocity. Reciprocity. Relationships, in other words, they work better when there's a mutual benefit, when there's a give and a take. Our human body is very reciprocal. It has an amazing ability to compensate for weaker parts. You know, if there's an injury or a disease going on in a particular part of your body, the rest of the body knows what to do. They come along and they compensate for that weaker part, or they'll bring healing to that diseased or that injured part. And that is supposed to be a picture of the body of Christ, this place of reciprocity. So in our text in verse 24 to 26, it says, God has put the body together, it's his idea, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. It's beautiful. It's reciprocal. There'll be times in the body that you find yourself rejoicing on behalf of another person. You're celebrating someone else. There'll be times in the body that you find yourself joining in on the suffering of another person. You're weeping with those who weep, right? And you'll give to them in that space. But then there'll be other times when you yourself are the one that's in a hard place. You yourself are in the one that's in going through that place of suffering. And you know what? In those times, the body is charged with getting around you. And you know, if at that point, when you're suffering, you also find yourself in a place of disconnection, well, that disconnection is likely, you're likely to feel the isolation of not having that connection. Being connected is supposed to mean comfort to you. I was so sick recently. I had laryngitis, I had bronchitis, I had an asthmatic sort of thing going on. I had so much antibiotics and drugs and da-di-da, and Ken was away. And I had 2 full weeks off work. I haven't done that, I don't think, ever. And I'm not, you know, I'm used to being the leader around here, you know. I'm used to, like, you know, I'm on staff and, you know, I'm usually the one ensuring people get around other people. And I didn't feel comfortable in that place of not being able to function. It wasn't a comfortable place for me, but I just had to acknowledge that at the moment I am weak. I am weak. I cannot function. And I was actually overcome by the comfort that came to me because of what I was connected to. know, people came with meals. People came, laid hands on me, prayed for me, anointed me with oil. Jane Crichton bought me some funky health tonic, and she said to me, don't worry if it changes colour. I was like, whoa, what is in this bottle? But I remember just being stuck on my couch, and I was overwhelmed. I just had tears, you know, flowing down my face, and I was like, thank you, God, for setting me in a family. Thank you, God, for this rich and deep connection that when one part is suffering, others were prepared to come and suffer along with me. I suffer, all of you suffer. You know? It wasn't like that, you know. We were designed by God to love and be loved. We were designed by God to care and be cared for, to know and be known, you know, to celebrate and be celebrated in that beautiful place of reciprocity. You know, your connection is going to mean comfort, but your connection is also going to mean purpose. We said before that each one is a valuable part. And the thing about parts is they have a purpose. You don't find a part that doesn't have a purpose. Parts have purpose. And the Bible is so clear that to each one of us, God has given us gifts. God has given us gifts, not that we would just sit them on the shelf or use them at our leisure or to our pleasure. God has given us gifts that we might function in them, that we might be released in that purpose. There is no such thing as a part without a purpose in Christ's body. But what I've come to learn is that just because somebody has a part to play doesn't automatically mean that they're going to play their part. Yeah. You know, some people never activate their gift, never get it off the shelf, never fulfill their purpose in the body. But the place of connection was always supposed to be a place of activation, where that gift that God placed on your life actually gets used. It gets released. It gets realized. We see all the spiritual gifts in Scripture, you know, things like serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, etc., etc., etc. Those gifts are going to be released in a place of connection. That's where they're going to be released. If you are cut off from the body, if you're cut off from connection, well, who are you going to teach? Who are you going to encourage? Who are you going to lead? Who are you going to show mercy to? Who are you going to serve? Your connection means comfort, but your connection also means fulfilling and walking in your purpose. There's some in the body that insist on being present but absent. Present but absent. Like, you come to church and you might be a good attender, but there's just not a great reciprocity going on. There's a little bit more take than there is give. You know, keen to be served, but not so keen to be the one doing the serving. Wanting encouragement, but not so keen to be the one who is an encourager. And I'm not in any way suggesting that this is done with malicious intent or with selfish intent, because so often, I know it's just not. It's just life, right? It can be just busyness. It can be just stuff sometimes going on at home. It could even be, you know, self-doubt. Never really believing that I am a valuable part, or never really believing that I would have anything significant to offer. But I think it should be said that being present but absent is definitely not God's intention for the parts of his body. It's not his intention. You know, when I had laryngitis, I went mute, like full mute, couldn't speak at all for the best part of a week. And I had this part of me, my vocal cords, that would simply not engage with its purpose. You know, they're present in my body, but they may as well have been absent because they just weren't functioning. And what I found is because my vocal cords were present but absent, the rest of my body had to work overtime to cover for the job that they weren't doing. You know, like, I often yell from one room to another in my house. You know, I'd be like, Jensen, come here. You know, but I couldn't do that because my vocal cords were present but absent. I'd have to get up off the couch, heaven forbid, and walk to another room and find my family member that I wanted to communicate with. My hands are working overtime, gesturing, just to try and communicate to my children. I'm reaching for external aids, pen, paper, text, whatever, iPads. I even used Isaiah's communication device. That was fun. All because my vocal cords were present but absent. You know, every part is a valuable part. Every single part is needed. And I want to say your part is so needed. Don't be present but absent in the body. Be present and be on purpose. Be present and engaged and fully functioning. Bring your gift to the table, even if you're not really sure what it is yet. Just bring who you are, because who you are is who we need. Who you are is who we need. You know, what's on your life's going to add value to what's on my life. What's on my life's going to add value to what's on the next person's life. And this beautiful reciprocal flow of giving and receiving and giving and receiving and seeing his body be all it's supposed to be on the earth. Amen? Amen? Hey, just because of the nature of what we're talking about tonight, I just thought it would be a really great idea to hear some different voices. And I want to invite Rick and Beck Van Sant up on the stage to join me. Can you join me in welcoming these guys? If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting these guys yet, this is Rick and Beck Van Sant, and they're our newest staff members here at Myer. They've been on staff since May. Oh, grab a seat, guys. Been on staff since May, and Rick's employed full-time now here at Nations to oversee all of our Connect groups, all of our volunteering, all of our people and partial care functions, integration. It's a big role, and he oversees the staff team that does that. And Becky's beautiful wife is part of that team, and she's in a part-time capacity for just 3 days a week. Previously, these guys were at Global Heart Church in Joondalup, and Pastor Jared and Sue Kean there at Global Heart very graciously released these guys to pursue these new opportunities here with us. And they've just been here just a few months, and they've already made such a tremendous difference, such a blessing. Thank you, guys. We love you. But I just thought it'd be so great to hear your voice and your revelation, because I know you've got a lot of revelation around these things we've been talking about tonight. And I might start with you, Beck, because you have worked in a church environment. I mean, I've known Beck for a lot of years. She's a girl that loves the church. She just loves the church and lives for the church. And you've been on staff in various churches for how many years?
So it has been 13 years working at church.
13 years. And that sounds like the majority of your working career would be on staff at different churches. Can you share with the guys what sort of roles you've fulfilled?
Yeah. So I started off as a high school worker at Perth Christian Life Centre and then became the youth pastor there. So that was a little while ago. And then when I got married, I moved to Global Heart where Rick was, and we became the new Christians pastors. So did that for 4 years and then became college staff and was one of the key lecturers as well. And then just before we came here, we were overseeing all the welcome areas in church. So,
wow. Yeah. It might have been easier to ask her what she wasn't involved in. That's a diverse range of and roles and titles. Rick, a couple.
That works.
Not so for you. You haven't been on a church staff before this, pretty much. Is that correct?
First time, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, what were you doing prior to taking up this appointment?
For the past 15 years, I've been in sales games. So the last 10 being business development for a fibre optic company. So slightly different.
And that was a full-time role?
Yeah.
So 40, 50
hours a week.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I know about Beck, Rick, Rick and Beck, Rick, that one, what I know about him is, in addition, so another guy that just drips with that revelation about the body, in addition to working that full-time 40, 50-hour a week role, professional role, for 18 years, he has attended and served at every single church service that his church, Global Heart Church, ever ran. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Bar the odd holiday. You know, I was going to say Christmas and Easter, but you were serving Christmas and Easter. You know, that is just incredible. And I think what I want to tease out from you, Rick, is, what was the revelation behind it? The why behind the what? You know, what has driven you through your whole adult life to serve Jesus and his church in that way?
you know, I mean, from word go, it was just, I had the personal conviction that that's what I wanted to do. Like, from moment go, it was, you know, it was such a blessing and so awesome to be there. God was just, you know, so real in that, like in serving and being a part of the church. You know, it just made God so real, and so it's just all I wanted to do. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. That's incredible. You know, we talked about the fact that there's comfort in connection. So, you know, if this is true, presumably your life has benefited from the reciprocity, right? From, you know, so can you share, you know, how has your life personally benefited from committing yourself to that degree?
Well, I mean, it's affected everything in every area of my life. I mean, I was, just before I was 18 when I first started going to Global Heart Church. I grew up in church, but, you know, it was the first time of, you know, charismatic sort of church like this sort of church. And, you know, from word go, I started serving on ushering, plug ushering team, and welcome areas in church. And, you know, it was just so fun. I met so many people. And out of that, I actually got offered a job by one of our key business people at church, offered me a job because he saw what I was, you know, doing, and he wanted that in his business. And so I worked with him for a year, and then I got an opportunity to do an internship and Bible college for a year, and through that served more and more. And, you know, God just kept putting opportunities in front of me, more and more relationships kept making. And, you know, I got given a car during that year at college by someone who saw the old bomb that I was driving, and picked up youth kids for church, for youth, and they just decided to give me a van so I could pick up more, and it was an awesome van. And, you know, there was just so many blessings after blessings for that. You know, every job I ever had since leaving high school has come as a result of serving in church and the people I met through serving, not just through attending, but through the teams and the various teams that I served on, whether it was car park or whether it was ushering or whether it was set up pack down. You know, I met so many people that I would never usually have met. You know, you mix with a whole range of people and build relationships through that. And, you know, a scripture that I love in relation to this is Proverbs 11:25 in the Passion Translation. It says this: those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. And I love that because, you know, it's not that you go into serving to get a blessing, but it's once you've been serving, you realize the blessings that come as a result of it. And looking back in hindsight, you know, as a single guy, you know, 18-year-old, just serving all the time, right through to being married and all our married life, just serving in every area, we look back and see the blessings that God poured out and the favor that came on our life. Not that we ever asked for it, but it's just, you know, it followed us in just doing what God was asking us to do.
Incredible, yeah, come on. Do you feel like you've given more or received more?
Oh, receive way more.
Yeah,
like it just,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, receive way more, absolutely.
Incredible, so good, so good. Hey, Beck, you know, I've known you, you know, like I said, for a lot of years. I know Beck's a very capable, very intelligent lady. She's got a bachelor's degree in theology. She's, you know, I just know, honestly, you could have done anything career-wise. You could have made a heck of a lot more money. I know that. You know, why have you devoted your life to serving Jesus?
So when I was 17, year 2000, my family moved to Perth Christian Life Centre, and that's when I really feel like my life was radically transformed and open to God. And that moment onwards, I just fell in love with God, but not just that, His house, His people, and I just wanted to be part of it. And I remember at 17, I just, whatever I could be part of, I would be part of. And I joined the creche team, I joined the choir because my first friend at Perth CLC was in the choir, so I was like, I'm going to join that team. And I was on the setup team, and, you know, whatever I could do to be part of this thing that I was so, I guess, in awe of and had really impacted my life. And so for me, I just went on a journey of saying yes and starting to just see God move in my life. And I did have this sense that God wanted to use my life for something. Didn't really know what it was, but I just knew if I just said yes and had these incredible people around me who were doing great things, like, well, I want to do that too. So I just kept saying yes. And I got this scripture Early on in that year, 1 Samuel 10 verse 7, it says, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. And really, I just started to apply that, you know, I would just say yes. And it usually came through a pastor, a leader asking me to be involved in something, an opportunity, and I just said yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was just a massive part of the church, and it was such a joy and a privilege. And you know, in terms of gifts and talents, I was really thinking about this, that, do you know, as a 17-year-old, I probably couldn't have told you everything that I was good at and gifted at, but actually, as I just started to say yes, I really found out what my gifts and talents were. But not only that, in God's house, I found expression for those gifts and talents as well. And so it was just, and it still is an incredible journey of just discovering who I am, but really out of serving in God's house and serving alongside incredible people. So, yeah.
Incredible. One last question to both of you. You know, what advice would you give to someone who's sitting out there tonight that perhaps would like to be more involved, but they just, like, don't know where to start or don't feel that confident?
Well, I actually think for me personally that fear has always been something that I have had to overcome, right? So it just comes to cripple you and make you feel numb and you can't move. And so, as I said, I just learnt to say yes. I just do it, you know, just say, yes, I will do that. I was actually sharing a really funny story with Chrissy. The first time was actually Pastor Ken asked me to be part of the worship team, and he rang me and said, oh, I'd love for you to audition. I was like, yeah, I will. I definitely would like to do that, right? And then he's like, oh, no, I want you to do it now because I'd like to put you on the weekend. And I was like, okay, I guess that's a yes. But in reality is that actually I just was like, I'm just going to say yes. And I was nervous to do it, but saying yes, stepping out in moments that sometimes were so scary but incredible, like, amazing, and I'm just so grateful that I said yes, you know. So
that's great advice. Hey, can you join me in thanking these guys? Thank you. Such an incredible blessing to the house. Thank you. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet all over this place? Singers and musicians, you can come and join me. Thank you, Lord. So good. You know, God wants you in His house. He wants you present and on purpose, present and functioning. You are a part. You're a valuable, valuable part, whoever you are. It's not just a word for the staff. It's not just a word for the leaders. It's not even a word for the volunteers. Whoever you are, you know, whether you've been a Christian for a week or whether you've been a Christian for your whole life, you are a valuable part, and God wants you to play your part, because there's something on your life that we all need. There's something on my life that you all need. We need each other. You know, we're better connected. We're better when we come into that place of connection. And I want to say that the enemy does not want you connected. The enemy does not want to see your life on purpose. He does not want to see you playing your part, activated in your part. The enemy would love to see you disconnected. The enemy would love to see you cut off from your purpose and in a place of isolation and in a place that is withdrawn. He would love that because he knows that in that place you're going to be vulnerable and in that place you're going to be ineffective. But I just want to commend us all to commit afresh, to commit afresh to connecting to this glorious body, to coming and taking our place, to committing to playing our part, to commit to come and bless one another. Commit when you feel like it. Commit even when you don't feel like it. Commit especially when you don't feel like it. How true is it that sometimes you don't feel like going to church, you don't feel like going to connect, you don't feel like connecting with this person or that person, but when you do, something significant happens? You know, the voice that tells you not to connect is the voice of the enemy, wants to keep you isolated and out of relationship. But that place of connection, there's going to be comfort for you, and there's going to be a great releasing into purpose for you. Amen. Come on, right where you are, if you're in your heart saying, I want to commit, God, I want to commit to connecting to your body, I want to commit to being in the place that you want me to be in, I want to commit to playing the part that you want me to play, right where you are, why don't you just raise your hands to heaven? Come on, just have that response in your heart. Raise your heart to heaven. God, I'm here, I'm present, I'm committed. I'm committed to your body. I'm committed to the person on the right of me and the person to the left of me. I'm gonna play my part. I'm not the whole. You don't want me to be the whole. You don't want me to be the whole, but I am a valuable part, and I'm bringing my part, Lord. I'm bringing my part to the table. Father God, you see every hand raised before you right now, Father God. Lord, we just want to say a collective thank you. Thank you, God, for your body. Thank you, God, for this person to the left of me and this person to the right of me, and I thank you for connecting me into this place, Lord God, that has brought me comfort and also wants to release, Lord, unto me purpose, Father. Lord, we thank you for that flow of blood that comes from the one that is Jesus Christ, who has brought us life. He has brought us life, life to the full, Lord, and he has removed from our lives that toxic thing. He's removed from our life that sin. He's removed from our life that shame and everything that's going to cause us, Lord God, to be broken and damaged. We thank you, and I pray, God, that you would help us to function as you desire your church to function, Father God. I pray even right now, I have faith to believe that even right now, new grace can fall on every life that is here. New grace can fall, Lord, to play their part. Father, for the one that doesn't know what their gifts are, for the one that is confused about where they fit, Father God, I pray even right now by your Holy Spirit, you would whisper to them, Lord, that they would be bold and courageous. They would just say yes, and in the stepping out, you would reveal more and more and more and more of your purpose, your destiny for them, Father God. We pray that your church would be all it's meant to be on the earth as we reach more and more people for your glory. And if you believe that, why don't you shout aloud amen and give him some praise? Come on, praise him like you mean it. Come on, praise him like you love him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com. We'll be right back.